Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're going to go John 4 from verse 4. This is Jesus. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. My relationship with Jesus, as you've heard, I'm just off the charts with it at the moment. And it breaks my heart when I see people who don't have that. It breaks my heart for the lost, definitely, who just don't know Jesus, who have no idea what he's about, and they have no perception, they cannot see what he's about. And we trust for the Holy Spirit to work there, but just recently, my heart has started to break for people who have a taste of Jesus, who have a smattering of what he's about, who've made it to the cross and given their lives, but are camping so tightly around the cross that they don't walk into the fullness of what he has for them. That they see Jesus the Savior, not Jesus the King. And we've been unpacking this for weeks. And my heart is breaking when I sit honestly in life group. And guys are just not drawing from the well of the Holy Spirit. They're not pressing in and they are not drinking. And I see them living in a shadow of what God has intended for his people to walk in. I want to shock them. I want to startle them. And I want to scandalize them. I want to shake them from where they're at. I desperately want them to know the fullness of life that Jesus intended for each of us. And Jesus was good at this. "Go call your husband," he said to the woman at the well later. "I don't have a husband." "Oh, that's right. You got five of them. And the one you've got now, he also ain't your husband." She was shocked, and we're shocked. I mean, Jesus, would he say stuff like that? But he will, and he does, and he did. Whatever it took to get to the heart of the matter. I love what, though, he never goes back to that after that. He challenges her on it, and then leaves it, moves on. And he starts speaking to her about the things of God, and walking in the kingdom. Because it's not the sin that he's worried about, it's eternal life. And walking in the kingdom. And that's what he wants for her. But let's go back to the beginning before we get started with her. John 4 from verse 4 says, Jesus had to pass through Samaria on his way to Galilee. So let's just clear something up here. Jesus didn't have to do anything. Okay? Specifically, go from Judea the long way round to Galilee. So Jesus, in Judea, what a Jew would have done was he would have walked up to the Jordan River, probably crossed it, walked on the other side of the Jordan up to Galilee. He would have done that because alongside the river would have been shade. Alongside of the river would have been water. Alongside of the river would have been provision. And it would have been a much better walk to where he was going to. The scenic route. But Jesus didn't do that. It says Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Why did Jesus have to pass through Samaria? One, I truly believe that's where his father wanted him. And two, because he was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had a God-ordained moment for him to meet with a woman. The question we have to ask is, what was the woman doing at the well in the middle of the day? We know that. She couldn't go and draw it when everyone else would in the morning or the evening, because we're a mature group here. She was probably sleeping with most of their husbands or other men, and she was shunned. And she had to go in the heat of the middle of the day when everyone else had took shelter, and she was going to draw water. And Jesus had to, compelled by the Spirit, go in the middle of the day, the long way round, so that he could meet this woman. Jesus is intentional. Jesus is intentional, so intentional, that I believe each and every one of us sitting here, standing here, working at the back, is here for a reason tonight. Jesus is wanting to show up, and he's wanting to work in each of our lives. No matter where we're at, no matter how good we think we've got this thing, he wants to take it to another level tonight. So Jesus comes to the city in Samaria called Sychar, near a field that Jacob gave to his son. Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, weary and tired from his journey, sat down beside the well. We see a Samaritan. We've got to understand this. I think we have some idea as Christians. We know the Jews and Samaritans didn't dig each other. But it was bigger than that. The Samaritans were a remnant of the northern tribes of the kingdom, who, when the elders and the kings were taken into exile, remained behind and had relationships and married foreigners. They threw out most parts of the Old Testament and only looked at their version of the first five books. They created a new worship place. They didn't go to the temple anymore. They didn't go to Jerusalem. They created their own place on a mountain called Gerizim, where they chose to worship. So everything about them was an affront to a Jewish person. Completely. They were rejected, moved away. Yet Jesus walks right into the middle of this hostility, sits down at a well, and asks a Samaritan woman for a drink. And this woman at the well is amazed. I mean, you can imagine that. Like, here's this Jewish man, a rabbi, a teacher, coming in the middle of the day, probably like, what are you doing, walking in the heat, sits down, then speaks to me as a woman. And we learn later that Jesus knew exactly who she was and what she had done. But he just speaks to her and asks her for water. And amazed, she says, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And I love Jesus. He's so cool. He doesn't give her the answer. He just answers her indirectly. And he shifts the focus and takes her amazement of the situation to another level. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. So Jesus says, lady, you've got this wrong. The amazing part isn't that I'm sitting here asking you for a drink. The amazing part is that you're not asking me. How many of us are in that same position? How many of us with Jesus right there? You're not asking him. Jesus, living water. Gift of God. So Jesus says to her, I'll give you living water. So she responds, how can you give me water when you don't have a bucket? If you want me to drink water that doesn't come from Jacob's well, then you must think you're greater than Jacob. Well, if this water was good enough for Jacob, it's good enough for me. She doesn't rise very high, does she? I mean, Jesus is giving her spiritual wisdom, second to none. And her response is worldly. Her background has not made her exactly a prime candidate for spiritual insight, but it's more than that. And we know that she was simply enslaved to the flesh. I mean, her spirit was dead. There was nothing there. Romans 8:6 says to us, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. She's just not on Jesus' wavelength yet. Guys, what does that mean for us? Just very briefly. We know this. We give our lives to Jesus. Holy Spirit comes in. That thing is locked and sealed and cannot be removed. In that moment, we go from being of flesh to being of spirit. Flesh is born of flesh. Spirit is born of spirit. In that moment, we defeat the things of this world. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how many times do we slip back? How many times do we not go to Jesus to drink from that wellspring, but choose to turn to the things of this world? The things we should have thrown off, the things we should have turned our back on, the things we should have walked away from. So here's this woman. I mean, she's like reeling now. Jesus is talking about living water, giving her water that she's not going to draw from the well. And then he takes it to another level. He says, anyone who drinks of this water, pointing at the well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, him will never thirst. That water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The amazing thing is not just that I can give you water without a bucket, Jesus says to her, but that water will take away your thirst forever. Even better than that, and here's the message for us tonight, it will turn you into a spring that brings eternal life to yourself and to others. What is Jesus on about? Proverbs 13:14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So perhaps Jesus meant that the wisdom he gives satisfies the soul and turns a person into a fountain of life. So perhaps, according to Scripture there, the living water is his teaching. John 7:37-39, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. Just like John 4:14, this passage speaks of drinking in and flowing out. But John here makes it plain that Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. In the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, that takes away our frustrated thirst forever. It turns us into people who overflows with life for others instead of sucking up other people like sandy soil. We've been speaking into this, haven't we? This has been a recurring theme that Jesus is trying to deal with us, I feel, over the last months. We've been speaking about the rivers in Ezekiel pouring from the temple, going from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to covering our heads. And we're saying, guys, we've got to jump in there. We've been speaking about the oceans that lie before the throne room of God that comes pouring out into our lives. We see the rivers planted in Psalm 1, trees planted next to those rivers, drawing from them, producing fruit. And we read of the fruit produced by the trees in Revelation. Jesus is wanting to do something with us. He's wanting us to draw from that river of life. He's wanting us to drink deep from the fountain of life. But he has it for a purpose. We need to be drinking in until it's pouring out. And then we have to ask Jesus, where is it going to pour to? See, I see in Scripture, not that it's an and or, not that it's the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the teachings or the Holy Spirit poured out, but both of these are true. That Jesus is teaching the Word satisfies our thirst and makes us a fountain of life, but also that the Holy Spirit satisfies our thirst and makes us a fountain. Jesus kept the Word and the Spirit tightly together. John 14:26, the Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I've said. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make the word of Christ clear and satisfying to the soul. When we come to Christ to drink, we drink of truth, not dead, powerless facts, but the truth of a sovereign God who loves us and his hand is over us. The truth of a Spirit that speaks only what he hears from him. And when the Spirit speaks to us, it can only be truth, because that's all he speaks. The Spirit and the Word unite to satisfy our thirst and make us a fountain of life. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. The word of promise and the power of the Holy Spirit are the living water offered to the Samaritan. Guys, I want to offer it to you again tonight. As I said up front, this is not just about being saved, which would be wonderful enough. Having that Holy Spirit locked and sealed with an assurance that I'm a child of God. I put my hand in his. He will not let go. If that was the sum total of the Holy Spirit, that it sealed us for an eternity with him, it would be enough. But he promises more than that. He promises that he will pour it into us and that we will become a fountain of life. Tonight I want to ask you the question. Do you want to drink at that well? The Samaritan woman did. The Samaritan woman who was an adulteress saw Jesus and the offer that he brought and replied to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw again." Guys, I'm going to leave it right there. And I want to encourage you to stand with me. I'm going to hand over to John, and I want to ask him to pray for us, because I want to stand there with you and I want to receive tonight. I want to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit poured into my life. I want to become a wellspring.